the New Testament epistle to the Romans, chapter 4, verses 1 through 25. By means of introduction, we note that Jews trace their ancestry from Abraham, and they claim to have Abraham's faith. In this chapter, Paul will describe Abraham's faith. Also from this chapter, please note insights which you accept as true, and then try to formulate God's way to salvation. What must we do or believe to receive everlasting life? We begin with verses 1 through 12 from the New Revised Standard Version, updated edition. What then are we to say was gained by Abraham, our ancestor according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. What he gained, literally what he found, it's the same meaning, and a first-class condition in Greek, assumed to be true for purposes of argument, and boasting. Yes, when we are a good example for others, we can be glad of that, and Abraham was a good example for us. However, we must take a detour and look at the Epistle of James, chapter 2, in reference to Abraham's attempted sacrifice of his son, Isaac. Was not our ancestor Abraham justified by works when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? James asks. You see that faith was active along with his works, and by works, faith was brought to completion. The phrase justified by works are the exact same words that Paul wrote in Romans chapter 4, verse 2, when he said, not justified by works. Well, what is the relation between faith and works? Many religious folk take pilgrimages and work hard through their life, hoping that God will have mercy upon them. What are these works worth? Now, we believe that faith saves us and works prove it. By works, we mean loyal obedience. We do not mean rituals, disciplines, pilgrimages, being nice, or having mystical experiences. And to be justified, we understand, means to declare one to be innocent, which is not the same as to save them, though they may occur at the same time. So, both one's faith and one's obedience declare one innocent or acquitted in God's sight. Thus, we understand that Abraham obeyed Yahweh, not laws, social norms, or religious rules. He obeyed Yahweh by believing his promises, and he obeyed Yahweh when he offered up his son Isaac, whom Yahweh quickly replaced with a ram. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now, to one who works, wages are not reckoned as a gift, but as something due or earned. By scripture, we mean the Torah in the book of Genesis, chapter 15, verse 6. He believed, that is, he affirmed God's promises. Reckoned means to be considered to be or declared to be acquitted, just or righteous. Righteousness in the context means acquitted according to Romans 4:8. Well, is this what it means not to work? But to one who does not work, but trusts him who justifies or acquits the ungodly, such faith is reckoned as righteousness. Now the term work here is in the Greek present tense, that is, somebody who is not currently working. Trust also is in the present tense, meaning that one remains faithful. Justify likewise is in the present tense, God keeps on justifying. Our faith, then, is our continual loyalty to Yahweh, or the Lord Jesus Christ. And the verb to reckon, again, is a present tense. God keeps on reckoning us to be innocent or acquitted. What did King David have to say? So also David pronounces a blessing on those to whom God reckons righteousness apart from works. He wrote, "Blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one against whom the Lord will not reckon sin." The scripture here is Psalm 32, which in the Greek Septuagint is Psalm 31. Well, what then about Abraham and his descendants? Is this blessing then pronounced only on the circumcised, or also on the uncircumcised? That is, only on the Jews, or also on the Gentiles? Well, we say faith was reckoned to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it reckoned to him? Was it before or after he had been circumcised? Well, it was not after, but before he was circumcised. So when was this? Abraham believed God at age 75 and was not circumcised until he turned 99 years of age. What does this have to do with the signature? Abraham received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith whilst he was still uncircumcised. The purpose was to make him the ancestor of all who believe without being circumcised and who thus have righteousness reckoned to them. Well, it's a sign, that is, circumcision, a physical act, which points to something else. As a seal, then, it is his righteousness, which is the spiritual reality indicated by the sign. Well, we know that historically, Abraham and his wife Sarah left the great city of Ur in Mesopotamia and migrated to Canaan. And likewise, the ancestor of the circumcised, who are not only circumcised, but follow the example of the faith that our ancestor Abraham had before he was circumcised. Not only, that is, it did not happen before he had personal faith. By ancestor, we mean this in a fictive sense, by adoption, which, however, is legal. And so he is our example. We have the same faith, but at a different time. So, this was before. Abraham was already declared righteous or acquitted before he received the sign. Do we render the law null and void? For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs or inheritors, faith is null and the promise is void. Well, the promise is recorded in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. Abraham would inherit the Adama in Hebrew, the red earth, the planet we live on. And what will he inherit? In the Greek of Romans, it's the cosmos, the entire world, not only a future in heaven. Do you know the meaning of this sign seen along highways in Germany? It means end of the speed limit. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there transgression. Where there is no law, where could that be? Well, certainly, all of history before Moses wrote the law, and even afterwards amongst ignorant Gentiles, and within the law community, there are infants and small children who do not understand the law. And according to Jesus, This is true for those who love God and love others as themselves, which fulfills the law. Let's try to sum up what we're talking about in this chart. Genesis 15:6 said, in one translation, Abram believed Yahweh, and Yahweh considered Abram's response of faith as proof of genuine loyalty. On the far right, we have the possibility of other humanoid beings who were simply lost Gentiles. God then created Adam separately in a special six-day creation. From Adam are descended other lost Gentiles who never obeyed God. Abraham was also descended from Adam. Now, Gentiles who obey Yahweh are saved Gentiles, for they have the same kind of faith as did Abraham. And then Abraham's descendants are in two categories. Those who obeyed Yahweh, or who believe in Jesus, are saved Jews, whereas those who do not have Abraham's kind of faith are lost Jews. For this reason, the promise depends on faith, in order that it may rest on grace, so that it may be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Grace, remember, is unmerited kindness, and it is guaranteed because it is backed by God himself. Well, here is Jesus calling Lazarus forth from his tomb. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist, whether dead literally or, in Abraham's case, dead in regards to his ability to father children. So it is written in Genesis chapter 17, verses 4 and 5. The life we're talking here is both bodily life and everlasting life. And God calls into existence, for he is the only creator. He has no equal. And things that do not exist, for example, righteous human beings who will live forever. Would you like to live to be 99? Hoping against hope, he believed that he would become, quote, the father of many nations, end of quote, according to what was said, quote, so shall your descendants be, end of quote. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead, for he was about 100 years old, and the barrenness of Sarah's womb. How is this like a bulldozer? No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Yes, the longer we wait, the stronger we believe. He did not waver, even when not yet having been tested. He gave glory, having been tested, and he became convinced and therefore kept on believing and moving forwards. Then came Moses, who received from Yahweh the divine laws and wrote them for us. What did he write? Well, Moses himself wrote, therefore, it was reckoned to him as righteousness. That is, God reckoned his faith to be righteousness or acquittal. Now the words, quote, it was reckoned to him, end of quote, were written not for his sake alone, but for ours also. Again, righteousness is to be found innocent before God. For his sake, well, when was it written? Though long afterwards, he had the oral quotation. And ours also? Let me ask you, For whom was the Tanakh written? Yes, for Israelites, but also for us who would share in the same faith that Abraham had. Now we're dealing with Jesus, who burst forth from his tomb after lying dead for 3 days and nights. It will be reckoned to us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was handed over for our trespasses and was raised for our justification, our acquittal. To reckon, remember, is to declare something to be true. To believe is to remain faithful. Trespasses were our violation of the law or of our own conscience, and justification, to be declared acquitted. This leads us then to seven conclusions, which we might call the way of salvation. Number one, God gave Jesus for our trespasses. Yes, when he died on the cross, he carried our sins to hell. Two, God raised Jesus for our acquittal. We now receive his righteousness and his life. Three, we did nothing to earn God's favor, his grace. But four, we believed God's promise, that is, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved forever. 5. God reckons us as acquitted, forgiven, innocent. And 6. We remain faithful to Messiah Jesus. Yes, unto death. So number 7. We live by God's kind grace, not only during our time on earth, but also forever to come. Amen. For next time, read Romans chapter 5 and visit our website at http://romans.forum. F-O-R-U-M.